Romans chapter number 8 this evening. Well, what a great time to be saved. Well, there's a lot of people west of here. I wish they could go home to what we can go to them to tonight. And, well, we show our indebted, Brother David said, to His goodness. He had wiped us off the face of the map. He had been just. And He would have been holy. Aren't you glad He is a God of mercy tonight? And the Bible said in Romans 8 and verse number 1, there is now. Oh, I could park there and go a long time. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank you for standing this evening. Been preaching on this subject of the Holy Ghost. Paul had come into a group of people that had made a profession, and he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Wonder tonight, there's no doubt in my mind that our churches are filled with good people. And even though the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But there's people that morally tonight are probably better than a lot of us. But yet they've never met Christ and the free pardon of sin. And as we look here in the Bible, we see how important it is to have the Holy Ghost. In verse 9, he said, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's simply none of His." Now that lets me know something, that we can be good people and we can try to live right, but if the Spirit of God does not dwell in us, it lets us simply know that we're none of His. That's what the Bible says. And I was raised in a church that had taught me about water baptism and doing good and works, but I never, ever had I heard a sermon on the Holy Ghost. And now I know why, because they don't know a lot about the Holy Ghost. But certainly in Romans 8, Paul is writing to the believer and he's letting us know what a friend we have in the Holy Ghost. I mean, the third person of the Godhead. He is a person and he has feelings and we ought to be careful that we're not going to grieve him. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, the Bible says that we can grieve the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of God lives in you, I can promise you this, sooner or later, you're going to grieve Him. This word means to be sad. And boy, when I do wrong, and I know I've done wrong, now it's something in me, Brother Jerry, that turns sad inside of me. To a grievance. You know, it's sort of like at a funeral, you feel that spirit of grief. Boy, I've done wrong, I've done that. You know, it's sort of like what Brother Randy was teaching this morning. Our words is like shooting a bullet. Once we fired it, we can't get it back no more. And so it is when we grieve as a child of God, when we grieve the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that lives in us becomes saddened. He's grieved. And so the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, a lot of us, we look at this word seal like a cap. But that's not really what the Word of God's speaking. It's a seal, a signet. He's put a stamp on us. And so, in other words, He said, you know what? He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed until how long? Till you sin again? No. Lord, I would have come uncorked a long time ago. Boy, aren't you glad when He stamped you out. Till the day of redemption. And you know, then a king, he would have a ring and he would make a stamp on a seal to make sure it's genuine. Boy, I'm glad that seal assures us to get to our destination of where it's intended to. Amen. I'm glad for whom He hath glorified, or whom He hath justified, them He hath glorified. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad tonight I'm saved by the good grace of God. And so we see, as a child of God, a sinner cannot grieve Him. A lost man can't grieve the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God don't live in them. But we, a child of God, can grieve Him. I wonder how many times we grieve the Spirit of God. We make Him sad by what we say or what we do. And then the Bible says we can quench Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm glad that He has not appointed us to wrath, but He has simply, and by His goodness and His grace, He has saved us, and He's not appointed us to wrath. Now, verse 19, He says this, "Quench not the Spirit." Now, this means to extinguish. It's as taking a fire extinguisher or a bucket of water and throwing on something. Now, when we extinguish something, we put in that fire. A lot of times God's wanting to do something out of us, and we quench Him. When we grieve Him, it means that certainly we've saddened Him, but when we quench Him, we're trying to put the fire. I'm glad when the Spirit of God moves on the choir, we can go to fanning that fire. Not quenching it, but fanning it. When somebody's singing with the Spirit of God on, we ought to be encouraging them and fanning that flame. We ought to let that flame burn out through the doors of our church and burn out down the highways about in Georgia. And we ought to not be quenching it. We ought to be fanning the flame. Look what God's doing around here, folks. It don't take a smart fellow to realize God's on this hill. It don't take a smart person to realize God's doing things when we can't see what He's doing. And I found out through years of preaching, honey, God's doing more when I can't see Him doing something than when I'm a seeing Him do something. A lot of times we want to look and see if God's doing something. Honey, let me tell you something. God's doing something in you. He's doing something in me by the Spirit of God. So we can quench Him. And then Acts 7 verse 51, you can resist Him. Acts 7 verse number 51. The Bible teaches us that we can resist Him. Now here, Stephen was preaching. And they went to throwing rocks at him. By the way, if you're going to be a good preacher, somebody's going to throw rocks at you. Say amen right there. Now he said this, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." Don't sound like to me he is on a membership drive. Amen. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." I wonder if Joel Osteen broke out in that on Sunday morning. How many had come back to that big Astrodome next Sunday? I'd love to get in there and preach under the Holy Ghost about an hour and a half. Have about 100 of you rednecks hollering, "Sit in, preacher," and we'll go back to Bowden in a little bit. Thank God, hon, we could clear that spot out in a hurry. He said, "Now you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye." Now a sinner can resist the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something with us. I believe with all my heart we can resist the Holy Ghost. How many times has He pressed on your heart to do something? You resist Him, and then by you resisting Him, you grieved Him. You grieved Him when you resisted Him. Boy, how many meetings would break out if people would just move and be the key to the service? I mean, God, I'm moving in your heart, wanting you to do something. You're so full of pride, and you won't do that. But honey, let me tell you, we're not going to get any better resisting the Holy Ghost. He knows what we need tonight. Now, we can resist Him. And so, with those thoughts tonight, he is a sensitive person. I want to say that. The Holy Ghost is a sensitive person. The Holy Ghost is not an influence. The Holy Ghost is a person. And He's the third person of the blessed Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He has feelings. A lot of times, you know something, if I come to church and I wouldn't welcome, I wouldn't come back neither. We find Him in the Laodicean church age, Brother Jerry, He's knocking on the door, wanting in. Can I tell you, He's wanting in our churches, and we need to let Him in and let Him do what He wants to do in our church. It's not about you and it's not about me. But oh, it's about what He's wanting to do. Now, we find over in Romans chapter number 8, I told you tonight that you can look in Romans 8 and find out if you have the Holy Ghost or not. There's several points in Romans 8 that we're going to deal with in days to come, if the Lord willing. But I really believe if you'll bear down and just stay with me and really search the Scriptures, you can really know, do you have the Spirit of God living in you or not? Now, a lot of times I want to say this. The devil hoodwinks a lot of people over church membership. And I've seen countless of people, me and my wife, we've seen countless people that God would open their eyes to the need of salvation. They thought they were saved as a child. They done the best they know to do. But the Holy Ghost smote their heart, showed them they had never been saved, and they got gloriously saved and miraculously changed. I'm going to tell you, He's still a saving old sinner. Now, I'm glad I can get in Romans 8 and find out, does the Spirit of God live in me? And I want to say, first of all, yes, in verse 1, we have a new dominion. I'm in Christ. Boy, that's an amazing concept. That's an amazing principle. The day that I believed in Christ, He placed me in Christ, and He placed Christ in me. And now when God looks at me, He don't see me the way I was. He sees His Son. And I'm glad that I'm in Christ Jesus. Never forget that. Has it ever been a time when you know that you've been placed in Christ? How do I get in Christ? Does that water put me in Christ? No! Faith puts you in Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit's got to convict us, and He's got to convince us that we need to say, we've got to be under old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Hey, there's a lot of people just join the church on revival meeting because it was August time to join the church. But honey, let me tell you, when it's time to join the church, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you and you step out by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, now there's no condemnation. I'm totally justified. He took the condemned sign off of me that needed to be tore down. And there's something going on in me that only He can do by the Spirit of God. Now, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, watch, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then He says, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, not only have I experienced a new domain, I'm living in the spirit world, but now I have a new deliverance. I've been made free from the power of sin. Now, watch what it said. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And let me tell you something. Now, a dog, because he barks, don't make him a dog. He barks because he's a dog. Because he barks, don't make him a dog. But he barks because he is a dog. And you know the reason we sin? Because that's all we could do was sin. For look, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there is a new deliverance. I'm glad that God has not only cleared me of my past, but He's given me a power for the present. May I tell you that now sin don't have to take a hold of me. In Romans 6:6, you ought to underline this verse. It's a powerful verse. Knowing this, talking about a new deliverance. Boy, when God come in, He took the chains off of me. Oh, sin had me bound. That old nature had me bound. And let me tell you what, the reason I was barking, because I was a dog. The reason I sinned, because I was a sinner. The reason I sinned, because I was a sinner. I was wicked and vile. But watch this, knowing this, that our old man's crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if you have an addiction tonight and you're saved, God says the Holy Ghost that is in you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to be bound by that lifestyle no more. The Spirit of God can break any addiction in your life if you'll yield to the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God will fix your marriage tonight. You don't need to go out yonder and pay a man $100 an hour. The Word of God can fix your home tonight. I struggled with nicotine as much as anything I ever struggled with in my life. I'm telling you what, I loved Copenhagen good as a worm loves dirt. I absolutely loved Copenhagen. I wish sometimes that God let me get a sack of Red Man in one jaw and a lip full of Copenhagen for another and work up that first good spit. You know, Brother Jerry, that was really that first good poo-yow was good. But I'm going to tell you, that thing had me bound. I mean, anywhere I'd go, you know what? I was a patting my hip or my shirt pocket. I was looking for something to have. I was addicted to that in my life. But boy, when God got to dealing with me, I remember Brother Dennis, God dealt with him in a storefront, made him madder than the devil. It made me madder than the devil. Amen? And boy, I began to yield the Spirit of God. When I'd go to putting that thing in my lip, God say, does that ant live in you? Now let me tell you something. Before I got saved, I could have dipped 12 cans a day. It didn't bother me. I was bound in bondage of my sins. And the things I was doing, Brother Randall, that I wanted to get away from, I didn't have the power to get away from. But thank God there was a deliverance came. The Spirit of God come in my heart and set me free. Thank God we're free indeed tonight. Boy, He can still break addictions. And I'm going to tell you what, we've all got flesh. Some of you may be hooked on different things tonight. But the Spirit of God lives in you. You remember Romans 6:6 that we have the power that sin would be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. Sin no longer is our lifestyle. Holiness is our lifestyle. Now there has been a deliverance. I've been made free. But I want to close with this comment tonight, and I want to dive in here just a few minutes. And not only do we have a new dominion and a deliverance, and let me tell you something, some of you got saved when you was a baby, don't know much about deliverance. If you got saved 6, 7, 8, 9 year old, thank God He kept you out of some of the cesspools that I found myself in. But buddy, this third point, everybody in the house, if you're saved, you can write this down on your Bible. You can write it on your wall. If the Spirit of God lives in you, we all have this third thing in common tonight, and that is a desire after the Spirit of God. We all thirst after spiritual thing. Hey, the Bible says this, Romans 8, verse number 5. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Then he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm glad when God put the Holy Ghost in me, He gave me a desire for spiritual things. And he says he's no respecter of person. Now understand, I'm an obsessive compulsive type individual. Don't look at me like a calf of Newgate. Now when I got saved, I went hog wild saved. But you know something? I know everybody don't have my type of personality. And everybody don't run and shout and jump pews. But let me tell you something. Everybody that has the Spirit of God in them ought to have a desire for spiritual things. If you don't like preaching, it's one of two things wrong with you. Number one, you got sin in your life. Or number two, you've never been saved. You ought to like spiritual songs better than achy, breaky heart. A desire for spiritual things. That's what bothers me so about preachers that's leading congregations to the world. Honey, let me tell you, I'm thirsting and starving after righteousness and godliness and holiness, and I have a desire to serve God and to love God. I didn't love God. I didn't want anything about God. But one glorious day, He came to where I was and saved me by His good grace and mercy and gave me a new desire down in my heart. Boy, you ought to have a desire about spiritual things. It bothers me about a Sunday morning crowd. I'm just being honest. I don't want to be no mean preacher. And I know we got a lot of people tonight run rag to bush. And I know half of you's tired. And I'm not going to preach for about an hour and a half. I know you've had 2 cents of parents to get to, and I'm trying to have sense about this thing. But let me tell you something, honey. When you can't sit in a place on Sunday morning, and then when you can't get people to come Sunday night, something's wrong with that. A desire's missing. Boy, some people will go to the ball game every time it's open. But he says, you know what? Those that are after the Spirit. Boy, I'm after Him. I mean, I want something of what He's doing. I mean, I want to be involved in what the Spirit of God, if it's singing, I want to be a part of it. Boy, I wish God would give me a voice for singing. I'd sing half the time, preach the other 45 minutes. But He didn't, so I'm just going to stick with preaching, amen? And so, my, we ought to have a desire for spiritual. Let me ask you, what is your desire? I don't want to sin no more. I used to love sin, buddy, like a hog and slop. And let me tell you, I'm nobody's dummy. I know this flesh still loves sin, but there's a problem now. There's something put in me the day I got saved. And when I sin, honey, I become miserable about the way I'm living. You can't live like hell and go to heaven. The Bible says you must be born again. Thank God I got born again. And I was doing all I know to do. The Spirit of God dealt with me. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Talking about those that are after the flesh and those that are after the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. Brother Mike told me that night, he said, I don't understand why people don't want to come to church. I got the churchgoer lives in me. Now I know you can be a fanatic. And I'm glad I'm a fanatic. But I'm going to tell you something, honey. Your desire ought to be in you to serve God. We know we pass from life unto death. How? Because we love the brethren. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Boy, I'm going to tell you this thing about the Holy Ghost. You better know that He lives in you tonight. And so certainly He gives us a new desire. Now, 2 Peter, chapter number 2 and verse number 19. 2 Peter, chapter number 2 and verse number 19. Now, we see while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end's worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. In other words, they got enlightenment by the Spirit of God and they never got saved. But they knew what they was doing was wrong. Verse 22, here it is. But it has happened unto them. That verse will clarify everything. Those three verses I just read to you have been a great topic of discussion through the churches for years. Verse 22 clears it all up. But it's happened unto them, not us, but them. According to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. Now you take a little pig, and you get that pig all good and stiffled up. I mean cleaned up and put a little pink ribbon on his little tail. You turn that pig loose and honey, he's not going to the recliner. He's not going to the pine straw. He's going to the mud hole. I tell you why the hog's going, because he's still a hog. Thank God he saved this hog one day and put my name down yonder in glory land, and I can't go to the hog pens no more. He said the dog's returned to his vomit. He's still a dog and a hog. Honey, I'm glad when you get saved by the grace of God, He gives a new nature in you. Puts a new man in you. A new desire to want to do right. And so we find out, boy, our nature was just like this dog and hog. But now in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 7, Lord, I was afraid I didn't have enough scripture for tonight. I'll preach it 4 hours if I don't quit. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. What about that? Talking about a new desire. He ain't called you to filthiness. He's called you to cleanliness. It ought to be a desire to be holy. He's holy. And then in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And verse number 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, and watch this, and called us with a holy calling. Now, I wasn't worried about nothing holiness, for God saved me. I was raised by one of the best mom and daddies that ever mom and daddied. But I want to tell you what, when I got my driver's license at 16, I told him, I said, I'm fixing to go to town to church. But I tell you what I was a liar and a conniver. And I'd go around and I would do all of my things that I like to do while they was in church. I'd come back home, Brother Wayne, at 1 o'clock and they'd say, how was church? I said, oh, it was great. I ain't even been to church. You know why? I didn't like church. And I still don't like dead church. That ain't changed. But I can tell you this tonight, honey, when God saved me, He put the Spirit of God in me and made me want to get holy. Because He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He's called us to be holy. And let me tell you something, if that call in you ain't calling you to be holy, I would wonder, was that call in you? There is a new desire. Look at Paul, Acts chapter number. First of all, I want to give you this, and then we're going to wind down somewhere. We're going to cut this off somewhere or another. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners whom I am chief. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, what? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now Paul is the pattern of our salvation. The way Paul got saved is the way every person has got saved. Now I realize that people said different things to get saved, but the concept is there in Acts chapter number 9. I want to show it to you. Talking about a holy calling. Paul was minding his own business in Acts chapter number 9. And something happened to Paul over in Acts chapter number 7. Remember when they stoned Stephen, he throwed his clothes down at a young man's feet named Saul. And Saul, buddy, he got around the preaching and the power of God, and something got to happening to him in his life. Now he's minding his own business in Acts 9. He's walking about and he's persecuting Christians. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, the synagogues. If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He journeyed. He came near Damascus, and suddenly, he wasn't looking for it, there came and shined round about him a light from heaven. You know why? Because God's holy. And he fell to earth under Holy Ghost conviction. And this is what he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Let me ask you something. Why did Paul fall down? He never had before. Because the Spirit of God began to deal with him. You're not going to get saved till God convicts you of being a sinner. And look what he says right here. Verse 5, he said, who art thou? And any sinner wants to know who the Lord is, he can find out. The Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 6, look what he said. He ain't popping gum and joining the church. He's going to hell, what he doing. You remember when you was going to hell? He trembling and astonished. Matter of fact, I couldn't believe what happened to me. He's astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go to the city. It shall be told you what thou must do. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. They laid him by the hand, brought him to Damascus. Now watch this. God saves him in chapter 9. In verse number 11, look where he wound up. The Lord said to him, arise, go on the street which is called Straight. You know something? When you meet Jesus, you'll wind up on Straight Street. Now, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have a desire to practice holiness. You that are saved in the Spirit of God, a lot of people confused about a conscience. We all got a conscience. God give everybody here a conscience. We're God conscious. There's no such thing as a born atheist. Romans chapter 1 said, every man can realize the light of creation and the light of conscience. Every man stand before God without excuse in Romans chapter number 1. Without excuse, they'll stand before God. Because man can look and realize there is a God. And if he wants to know more, he can know more. And buddy, when he saved Paul, he got on straight street. And that's what bothers me. People say they got saved, but their life don't change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, there's a big difference in sanctification. I know it takes time, a process. It's took me a long time to get what little progress I've made. But I can tell you one thing. When I just close this sermon with tonight, I'm going to prove to you. Once you get saved, you cannot practice sin. It ain't in your Bible. Turn with us over into 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. There's something happened when God saved you. Now let me tell you something. If you was a drunkard before He saved you, your flesh may let you run and get you a drink. But it's something different now. You're pouring that down in on the Spirit of God, and it used to not be in there. Boy, that makes a big difference. Look what he says in verse 9 now. Whosoever is born of God born from above, doeth not commit sin. That word means practice. Sure, we all sin. But I'm glad He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Watch this. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. Why? For His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Let me tell you something. The day you got saved, God ought to put something in you. And it's called the seed. And He said, you know what, Ken Bone? You can't do the things you used to do now if you got saved because the Spirit of God's living in you. You can't practice that lifestyle. I tell you what I can do, though. I can get me a coffin lid real early. Now watch this now, and then I'm going to close. This is another way to know if you're saved or not. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, about this new desire. Hebrews 12. Now, if you spank your neighbor's children, you're out of bounds. Somebody say amen. But you have right to spank your children. And God has a right and authority to spank His. And this Bible tells us something in Hebrews 12 and verse 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Ye forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. Now, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, or illegitimate children, and not sons. This is what the King James Bible said. He said, let me tell you something, buddy. If you profess to know me, and you out living like the devil, you're going to get you a whooping. Boy, that lets me know. Hey, you know something? There's been times I let go of him, but he didn't let go of me. Boy, don't he know how to get your attention. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, that scares me to death about go to living after this flesh. Every son that he receives, he disciplines. Don't tell me that you are saved and live like the devil. You can't have that lifestyle. That's what this book said. It said there's a seed remaineth in it. You're his, buddy. And he's going to whoop you. Ain't it? Boy, don't he know how... Can't he just make you billy goat sick? Boy, have you ever done things you just wish, man, I'll be glad when this gets off me. And you fall down and say, oh, God, get this off me. Don't it feel good when you know he's got it off of you? Has anybody ever done wrong here but me? Thank you. Y'all make me feel better as a preacher. You know something? If the Spirit of God lives in us, we ought to have a desire for spiritual things. And you better check up and be sure that the Spirit of Christ lives in you. You know, God works in mysterious and miraculous ways. There's been many of you that were saved. Even after that you came here and thought you were saved, that's a multitude of people. Let me ask you something. Does the Spirit of God live in you? Do you have a desire to serve Him and to grow in grace for the Lord? I want to be all I can be for the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. I didn't start this in me. I didn't call me to preach. Lord knows I was doing fine as a Pepsi-Cola peddler. I didn't start this. God started this. When He starts, He'll finish. Watch this. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. How long? Until the day. You know what He ought to be doing now? He ought to be sanctifying us in holiness. Some of you have been in this church a long time. You ought to be walking closer to the Lord than you've ever walked all your life. The Spirit of God will make you check up. The Word of God will make you check up. Could you imagine us if we was in here and just promoting a little old drama team? Entertaining? That ain't bringing no conviction. That ain't showing nobody that they got the Holy Ghost. We better wake up and realize eternity's too long to be wrong. Boy, I'm glad the peace of God can settle it in your heart. With all my heart, I'm glad that you can. Miss Sherry, would you come tonight? Just play me something. I just want you to play softly. I want to ask somebody a question tonight about the Spirit of God. I don't know why the Lord's had me to deal with this topic, but I know this. When I woke up yesterday morning, I told Renee, I said, "Hon, I'm not going to be able to preach what I prepared for Sunday. God's going another direction. God's wanting me to deal with Romans 8. I want to tell you something tonight. You're here and lost. You've never made a profession of faith. You've never accepted Christ. It'd be a good night if you just walk the aisle by faith and trust the Lord Jesus. Some of you, you're probably wondering, does the Spirit of God really live in me? Does He really live in me? Well, let me tell you something. He said, "I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." You ought not walk through this world of doubting you if you're saved or not. You can't have no joy of doubting. You can't be no powerful impact, a powerful witness if you're doubting that you're saved. Get in this book. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. That's His job. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We all ought to have a desire to go after the Spirit. Spiritual things, holy things, precious things. We ought to love our Bible. We ought to love a meeting. We ought to love singing. We ought to love congregating with the saints of God. It's just a joy to come here and be with the saints of God tonight. Just a joy. And I know you can be carnal. I know that. But let me tell you something. You can be filled with the Spirit if you want to be. Every head in the building bowed tonight, I asked you, God dealing with you to be saved, won't you take a step out and trust Christ tonight?